This is The Curious Gamer. I'm Devin Pulaski. We all have our own different reasons. We all have our own preferences. But when we really, really get into a video game, it connects with us. That back and forth between player and game engages with your senses, and it drives you to press onward. Whether you're lost in a huge world, or competing with friends, or simply tapping away on your phone, these are all moments that drive us towards games. Moments that compel us to take part in the wonderful act of play. What exactly is this driving force? Well, for that matter, what is a video game? I mean, really, what are they? How do we define them? Here on The Curious Gamer, if we're going to discuss the culture, design, and joy of video games, we first need to understand them on a fundamental level. In our last pilot episode, we talked about the possibility of games, why they're so important to talk about, and how they influence our culture. Today, I want to figure out what all video games have in common, and how they connect with us and engage our senses. If we can define games, then we certainly have a better chance at understanding them on a deeper level. So, if I were to ask you, what is a video game? How would you put it?
Oh, God. Start with me? That's awful. This is awful. What are video games? That's the question. Or what is video games to me?
So I guess my dictionary definition would be an electronic interactive experience.
Interactive piece of art.
Interactive medium.
An interactive story.
That allows a player to play vicariously through a character.
The control of a virtual character.
Of a player with a storyline.
That is controlled some sort of device.
I think it's just a form of entertainment, the same as a movie or a book or just something to kind of distract you from your day a little bit. But it can be like so much more than that, the same way a movie or a book could.
Games can be a way to relieve stress. Games can be a way to tell a story.
Wow, that's a good question.
This is like a really big question.
Yeah, that is kind of hard to define.
Okay, so defining games is difficult, and our definitions sometimes clash with each other. It's kind of like defining what music or art is. There aren't really any right or wrong answers. So perhaps the best place to start is to make some connections and see what all games have in common. Let's see. Is it that all games are played with controllers? Well, no, because that doesn't include touch controls on phones and tablets, or things like the Kinect and the Wii, where you use your body movements to control the game.
Nice throw!
Well, what about all games having their own unique stories and characters? Well, this isn't true either, because we all know there's plenty of games out there that feature no narrative structure, especially in genres like puzzle games. So, surely, it must be that all games are meant to be beaten, which is what Roger Ebert controversially quoted in his statements about games.
One obvious difference between art and games is that you can win a game. But I would say that a story, a novel, a play, a dance, or a film are things you cannot win. You can only experience them.
But this isn't right either, because the idea of beating a game implies that there is an explicit ending. But this doesn't include games that are designed to never end, or ones that infinitely generate new content to players. So, if it's not any of the above, what is it that all video games have in common? And why does this matter? If you examine the structure of any video game, there's actually four core concepts they all share. I call these the four essentials, and they are players, goals, rules, and feedback. And as we'll find, feedback is the most important element. It's not only the glue that holds the other three essentials together, but also gives video games their unique power. Feedback is the driving force that keeps us gaming. But before we get into feedback, let's put the four essentials to the test. Now remember, this is supposed to be foolproof. Every single video game should contain the four essentials of players, goals, rules, and feedback, or else it isn't a video game. To prove it, let's test the four essentials against two completely different kinds of games: The Elder Scrolls V: Skyrim by the game company Bethesda, and Words with Friends by Zynga.
One of the world's hottest social word games just got more social.
And both of these video games are enjoyed by millions of people all over the world across several gaming platforms. But in many ways, they couldn't be more different. Well, Skyrim is an epic adventuring game played by one person, set in a fantasy world with a huge range of choices. Words with Friends is a two-person virtual board game based off of Scrabble with simple, straightforward rules. How could these two games have anything in common, let alone four core concepts? Well, let's put the four essentials to the test. First up is players. Now, since it's like Scrabble, Words with Friends always has two real-life players. They aren't represented in the game as characters, avatars, or anything other than their name displayed as text next to the number of points they have. Now, unlike Words with Friends, Skyrim is a single-player-only game. Now, as a player, you're represented in the game as your hero avatar, and you can shape this hero in your image, or into something entirely different than yourself. You can be male or female, light or dark-skinned, tall or short, and even a choice between different races, such as humans, elves, orcs, or even reptile and feline-type races.
Dragonborn, it is you. Welcome to High Hrothgar. I am Master Arngeir. I speak for the Greybeards. Now, tell me, Dragonborn, why have you come here?
As we can see, the players in Words with Friends are all about competing in the moment, defeating their opponent on a simple game board. Conversely, Skyrim is all about pulling players into its world with as much detail and control as they'd like. It's a personal adventure over a long period of time. The players of both of these games may be very different, but they are both, nevertheless, players in a unique video game environment. Next, we have the second essential of games: goals. In Words with Friends, the goal is utterly simple: defeat the other player. Players use their combination of letter squares to create the words that give them the most points. By the end of the game, you want to have more points than the other player, and whoever has the most wins. It's dead simple. Conversely, Skyrim doesn't have a single specific goal. Throughout the game, you embark on quests, which you could say are like mini-goals. Quests usually involve specific tasks or missions that are assigned to you by the various denizens of the game's world. Some of these quests involve slaying mythical creatures or hunting down a band of legendary warriors.
There's no time to stand on ceremony, my friend. I want you to go with Irileth and help her fight this dragon.
While others are simply errands you're running to help someone out.
You there. We're looking for someone in Wyfron, and we'll pay good money for information.
You could say that the goal of Skyrim is to complete as many of these 250-plus mini-goals as possible. But perhaps it's more accurate to say that your goal is to become the most idealized version of yourself, to finish as many quests as you can, to collect as many rare artifacts and gain as many skills as you can. In essence, the goal is to become the strongest, smartest, most well-known individual in the world. Just like with players, the goals of these two games couldn't be any more different. Words with Friends is direct: beat your opponent. Skyrim is more of an existential goal of self-improvement. even though they're so different, it's easy to see why they're such appealing goals. One is about outsmarting your opponent. The other is about becoming a better person. Both of these are satisfying and worthwhile goals. And now we're at the third essential, the rules. Since Words with Friends is like Scrabble, that means that each player receives a random set of letter squares. During their turn, players can use their letters to form words on the game board, and it's in the player's best interest to craft specific words on specific areas of the board to receive the most points. Much like Scrabble, the rules are straightforward and understood by both players as they play. Like any good strategy or puzzle game, the rules guide the player's every action as they carefully choose how to proceed. In Skyrim, the rules are not explicitly stated. Like most video games, Skyrim allows players to teach themselves how to play as they progress. We can look at the rules of Skyrim much like we look at the rules in real life. When you run, how fast can you go? What kind of vegetation grows in the mountains as opposed to what grows in swamps? How much experience will you gain from accomplishing specific tasks? In Skyrim, these are the sorts of questions that the rules are meant to address. Skyrim may lack explicit rules like Words with Friends, but just like real life, it has rules for its physics, kinetics, weather, climate, time, people's behavior, and all the other details that help contribute to building its complex world. And now, we're at the fourth and most important essential, feedback. Feedback is gaming's most unique, hidden, and powerful quality. Feedback is what occurs between the video game and the player. The player acts upon the game, and as a result, the game responds to the player with some sort of stimuli. Feedback can take on many forms, and many kinds of feedback usually occur simultaneously. In Words with Friends, what happens when you pick up a letter square? Well, you may not consciously think about it, but a lot happens. The square gets bigger to show that you've selected it. It moves with your finger as you drag it across the screen. It makes little bubble pop sound effects as you pick up and place it. All of these things are examples of feedback. Feedback shows you that you're interacting with the game and illustrates the consequences of the actions you take. While it may seem innocuous, the minimal animations and sound effects in Words with Friends are the vital feedback that engages the players and guides their actions. In Skyrim, each button on the controller makes your character perform a different action. Each action your character makes has its own unique animation and sound effects. As you look around the world, you get feedback on what time of day it is, what the weather's like, and what type of wildlife or enemies are nearby. When you meet a character in the game, they'll communicate with you and share what they're thinking, or maybe even take action.
A prospective student, are you? Well, I'm afraid I'm not much good at teaching. You should try your luck at the College of Winterhold.
Your controller will even vibrate if a dragon flies overhead.
What in oblivion is that?
For every action that you take in either game, the game presents you with feedback, confirming your actions. It's this interplay between the game and player that makes feedback the most potent and powerful ingredient of video games. And there you have it, four essentials that all video games share, no matter how different they might seem from each other. It doesn't matter if you're playing Skyrim, or Words with Friends, or Super Mario Bros., or Angry Birds, Call of Duty, or even Solitaire on Windows. Any and all of these games will meet the four essentials test every time. So, if the four essentials define what video games are to a certain extent, what about games other than video games, like sports or card games and board games? Wouldn't these be up to the same test? Well, not exactly. Now, I'm going to affectionately refer to games other than video games as analog games. And analog games have three of the four essentials. Only video games have the unique ability to accomplish the fourth essential, to provide feedback. To explain, let's compare the analog version of Monopoly to its video game counterpart.
Did anyone else have Monopoly for the N64? I'm having flashbacks.
Monopoly taught me how to hate. That game is not,
Monopoly
not about
taught
strategy.
You that not all games are
it's
fun.
It's not about strategy. Like, you play that game and you will hate everyone that you play with. Like, I can't do it. I can't do it.
If we observe both games, we'll notice that the first three essentials are in both versions of the game. The players in both the video game and board game are the same, represented by the charming little silver pieces like the dog, the thimble, or the car. The rules are the same too, in that you roll your dice, move around the board, collect properties, and earn, spend, and lose money. Lastly, the goals are the same too, in that each player is trying to bankrupt the other players. So far, so good. Three out of the four essentials check out. But now, let's look at the fourth, feedback. When you play Monopoly as a video game and you roll your virtual dice, what happens? Well, when you flick the controller or touchscreen, the dice fly onto the virtual board, showing you what numbers you rolled. They show you how far you moved along the board. They show you if you passed go or not, and they show you what happens as a consequence of the tile that you land on. And the game also presents visual and audio cues for everything that you do, such as an animation of your dice rolling, a sound effect for when you pick up a card, music playing in the background, and animated graphics of the game board in your virtual piece. Based on the single action of casting virtual dice, a slew of new information was presented to the player. The player took action upon the game, and the game, therefore, is showing the player the consequences of their actions. This isn't just a simple dice throw. It's an interactive event between you and the game. So, what happens when you roll the dice in analog Monopoly? Well, nothing really. The dice rise into the air, crash to the ground, roll, and stop, and there now happens to be two numbers facing up at you, but that's it. This is not feedback. An analog game won't teach you new concepts, nor will it provide you with any meaningful information. Analog games are incapable of producing interactivity, and for this reason, they cannot produce feedback. Instead of an analog game providing meaning, context, and consequences, this responsibility falls entirely on the player. Granted, the game does have rules, which are usually understood by both players before they start, but the game can only set itself up. It's up to the player to decide how these actions are carried out. Chances are, in analog Monopoly, if the dice come up to be a 3 and a 5, you'll probably move your Monopoly piece 8 spaces. But the game did not decide this action. The player did. The game won't correct you if you move 7 or 9 spaces instead of 8. It won't stop you from collecting $400 after passing go instead of the traditional $200. And it also won't stop you from cheating or stealing from the bank. Analog games cannot provide feedback. Video games can. So, why does all of this matter? After all, isn't this just Monopoly we're talking about? Isn't all of this just a game? What meaning can we derive from discussing rolling dice? What significance is there in understanding four concepts all video games have in common? Well, it's because games aren't exclusively like Monopoly anymore. They're not just like Scrabble or Words with Friends. It's usually not as simple anymore to pinpoint what the four essentials are in each video game. And that's because video games are evolving. Your role as a player is often far more complex than it used to be, and the goals are often more abstract and metaphorical. The rules are more intricately woven into complex systems, and the feedback envelops us in ever more engrossing and exciting ways. If video games are to be taken more seriously as a whole, we need ways to understand them and communicate our ideas about them. We need to define different elements and draw connections and patterns. Since the time that the games have entered mainstream culture in the 1980s, I think our culture has gotten a lot closer to that level of seriousness. Since then, we have so many more games that make defining them a much more difficult task. And to me, that's a good sign. It shouldn't be simple or obvious to understand, and that's what makes it so worthwhile. Before, video games were, basically, not that different from analog games. That's not to say they weren't as good, and that's not to say that analog games don't have their own unique power and meaning, but if we look at the games from then, it did make it easy to see them as toys or distractions and simplistic, instead of the complex, profound, and artistic things that they've become. Now, we have games like Skyrim that give us micro-universes to explore and to provide us with personal adventures. We have games like Last of Us and Beyond Two Souls, which allow us to play the role of highly developed characters and follow them in their cinematic narrative.
What are you still doing up? It's late.
Oh, crud, what time is it?
It's way past your bedtime.
But it's still today.
Honey, please not right now. I do not have the energy for this.
Here.
What's this?
Your birthday?
Where did you get the money for this?
Drugs. I sell hardcore drugs.
Oh, good. You started helping out with the mortgage then.
Yeah, you wish.
How about you, Jody? How did you end up on the street?
Some things that I'm not proud of. I know that this is gonna sound really strange, but I'm different.
And we have games like Minecraft and The Stanley Parable, which challenge us to rethink how games are made, what it means to play, and why video games are so different than any form of media.
Ah, yes, truly a room worth admiring. It had really been worth the detour after all, just to spend a few moments here in this immaculate, beautifully constructed room. Stanley simply stood here, drinking it all in.
Yes, really, really worth it being here in the room. A room so utterly captivating that even though all your co-workers have mysteriously vanished, here you sit looking at these chairs and some paintings. At this point, Stanley's obsession with this room bordered on creepy and reflected poorly on his overall personality. But at last, he'd had enough of the amazing room and took the first open door on his left to get back to business.
Video games have ascended to a higher plane, which means that our understanding of them has to ascend as well. And that's why it helps to begin with the basics, to define them at their core, essential elements. With my four essentials, I may have my own personal definition of games, but just like defining music or art, there is no right answer. Everyone has their own interpretation, and there will always be conflicting arguments and evidence. But I want to welcome and celebrate these discussions. I want us all to dive as deep as we can and increase our understanding. Because I'm already convinced that video games can be powerful works of art. Now, I want to understand why. And I want all of you to join me. This episode of The Curious Gamer was produced by me, Devin Pulaski, as a public radio show. In this first season of shows, I'm going to explore video games, showcase my observations, and reach out to the community closest to me for stories. In future seasons, I hope to obtain greater support and funding for the show in order to produce more ambitious content. If you go to our website, thecuriousgamer.org, you'll find several ways to connect with the show. You can listen to the pilot episode, read our blog posts, download episodes and show transcripts, and find ways to contact me in the show. You can find our email address, Facebook, Twitter, SoundCloud, and Google Plus accounts, and several other things you might find interesting. Again, find all of this and more at thecuriousgamer.org. And finally, don't let this show exist in a vacuum. Share this with your fellow gamers, your non-gaming friends, your parents, radio lovers, your coworkers. And if you don't regularly listen to podcasts, well, say, it's great to load them up on your phone or tablet and listen to them on your commute to work or while you're working out or just doing something where your mind needs to be more engaged. Thanks again for listening. And let's all start talking and thinking more about video games. Stay tuned and happy gaming.